Welcome back to Overdunk, everybody, your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast, or at least it was. I hope it still is. It has been a long time since we've recorded an episode, everybody. I am so sorry. I'll take the blame for this one. Holiday break. Unite was in an interesting place. It's been a while since we've recorded an episode. I'm sorry. The regional leagues have kicked off. ACL's been an absolute banger as well, so there's a lot of stuff we got to catch up on. We're also going to be talking about the game and kind of our mixed feelings and situations towards it at the moment. But of course, we got to introduce who's going to be doing that. As always, I am Zoinks, and joined as always by Bridget. Bridget, my friend, how are you?
I'm so good. Yeah, I was expressing earlier, I've pretty much been in vacation mode for probably 5 weeks, I'll say.
Yeah.
Give or take. So we're back. We're going to be locked in. It's going to be great.
Okay. Let's go. It's great to be back. It truly is. So I am excited for this one. You and I always talk about after doing this show, it sometimes is the reminder that we need to be like, oh yeah, I do like Unite. I do like its community.
I think I've been needing that.
Competitive space. It is funny, but it every now and then it's like, oh yeah, I needed that reminder that you like the game. Okay, but speaking of which, let's just dive into our first topic. I guess for audio listeners and stuff, we're going to be kind of going in this order. We're going to be talking about kind of the state of the game currently with kind of the changes that Unite's been making, maybe some overall direction as we are moving towards February, which is Pokemon Day, which we always get some pretty big announcements, if not just about Unite, but the Pokemon sphere in general. We'll be talking about kind of how things have been going there. Then we're going to be doing a look back at all the report cards that we did throughout the year and give the report on Pokemon Unite 2025 release GPA. We're heading to the classroom and we're giving you the final grade. We're probably going to hit Meowth and Sirfetch next week in terms of starting our 2026 class. But anyway, and then after that, we're going to talk all things esports. So if you're watching this on YouTube or listening to the podcast, and all you want to hear about is ACL and the regional leagues, you're probably going to want to jump to about halfway through the show. I don't do timestamps. So anyway, that's where to go.
So helpful.
Yeah.
I
feel like sometimes I'm less helpful, more just give warnings. So that's That's what I ended up doing. Bridget, like I said, we're going to start by talking about the state of Unite currently. Now, the reason I was going to be a little more trepidatious about this near the start and not reason for our big long break is Unite was having a tough time. It was having a tough time over the holidays. Game crashes constantly. The license point journey, I would say, a semblance of optimism towards the system when we were talking about it in theoreticals before it actually released into the game. Almost all of that has been completely squandered and gone. I am not a fan at all. And as I think you'd be kind of hard-pressed to find fans of the system at this moment. And yeah, now there's Comfey bots in the ladder. So we're in an interesting place. But before we dig into that a little bit deeper in part by part, Bridget, where are you at with Pokemon Unite right now?
Definitely a similar state. I mean, License Journey was kind of like the beginning of the, I don't know, bad times. Because it really stinks. Because we were actually kind of like thriving a bit. Like, yeah, the megas were disappointing, pretty stale, like whatever, but we were getting Kyogre map. Yeah. Like, we were kind of getting like cool, nice stuff. Like, draft was back at, like, we got like legend rank, we got like the ranked read. I don't know, things were kind of like going, we were like, I would say, you know, it's not like a perfect angle, but we were on the ups. And then License Journey's hit, and it's just been like,
yeah.
So
a hard pivot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've been pretty unhappy. I've been like taking a step back from social media, so I'm just like not even on socials as much anymore. And I just don't like think about, or I really kind of like was taking a break from Unite because I'm like, the game is, I'm not even getting draft games. I'm in veteran, but just like, I have to give like an applause to every Unite streamer who was like still playing the game during this like crashing period and just restarting their game every single time. I'm like, I know it's not that like deep, like it's not that big a thing to. The fix was to, like, as soon as you picked your mon in draft to, like, restart your game. Oh. So you would load back in before, it, like, you kind of, like, couldn't crash because right. you were already loading back in.
Of course.
and that, to me, was just insane. There's so no crazy. Way. Yeah. I was never going to do that. So shout out to every Pokemon Unite streamer who yeah. endured because... I did still watch, and I appreciated, but I couldn't be bothered to do that myself.
Yeah.
That's where I was at.
It is nice that we're talking about a lot of that in past tense. I believe the last couple of patches yeah. in the game have done a really good job of actually finally fixing those problems. I think it is pretty ridiculous in how long those persisted. But don't worry, they gave everybody 300 or 3,000 AOS tickets or whatever for the trouble. It was an interesting spot to be with me because I'm like a mobile player, so it wasn't happening to me in terms of crashing very often. However, it was happening to my teammates in ranked all the time. You know what I mean? So I'm loading into games with only four players on the squad instead of five. Now, obviously, I'm just a solo queue player, so it's not like I could communicate. Close your game. You know what I mean? Before we get to the next one. Oh, sorry about the computer sound, everybody. But anyway, that is you wouldn't have heard it, but the recording will. So sorry to the podcasters. So yeah, the game crashing and stuff, that is brutal. I am happy that is fixed. License journeys have been a challenge for the community, except for everybody too. I understand that it's like a pivot to what a lot of modern free-to-play games utilize. Like I mentioned Valorant a lot, like in the when this was kind of told to us before it actually launched in-game is a similar system. It's just, it is mind-boggling how few ways there are to earn said currency in the game. Like it is, I don't know. It's a tough decision. I do think license points journeys could be a redeemable system, which maybe is a hot take. If you get like, you got to rework a lot of stuff though. It's not just more points. It's like more points, more, like opportunities for points, like different spaces other than just the paid battle pass, or just like normal playing the game. Like I'm talking like questable missions, whatever it needs to be. I think there needs to be way more rungs on that license journey ladder of like, hey, pick a Pokemon slot. Like I think they are not even close to enough, in a lot of those situations. So I don't know. That is, there's a lot of change that needs to be done there. We could probably do a full podcast episode on license journeys. But yeah, it's a tough spot to be. This is also with like the additional effect or feeling of the most recent patch. And listen, there's a lot of great content creators in the space. I don't know if I'd include us amongst them, but there's some people who are making really good videos.
Pause.
Yeah. Okay, I would include Bridget amongst them, but there's some really good videos on it. I know, like, Spraggle's most recent video, like, covering the patch notes and going through it, it's, like, every single change, maybe there's, like, two of them that aren't this, but, like, every single change other than that are, like, some kind of Hollowware-based patch decision, like, either a buff of an upcoming one or a nerf to a Pokemon that was buffed for some kind of cosmetic, like... I don't know. Yeah. It's maybe the least subtle patch we've had of all time. Like, I think we've all swallowed the Battle Pass buff pill enough. You know what I mean? Like, we understand it's happening, but it's like, boy, like, geez, every single one being that, like, visible front and center has been a challenge for sure. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Every now and then, the universe reminds me that I cover a mobile game for, like, my part-time job. And it's tough sometimes. It's a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, and it just is like, obviously a lot, if not all, goodwill, I feel like, mm-hmm. from the death. Like, it's just been, like, fully lost, especially, like, as you said, most obviously in these patches. It's like, why are we even, are we actually balancing the game?
Yeah.
Or, because it doesn't really... I mean, like, a lot of the nerfs, I guess, are, you know, nice to have, mm-hmm. for sure, from the latest patch, for sure, but it's just, like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it's a mobile game at the end of the day, and this is kind of how Pokemon treats their mobile games, at least from like my POV. Yeah. I know.
To be fair to them, obviously, like most mobile publishers do. You know what I mean? Like it is not just a Pokemon exclusive problem. It is this market tends to be sought after in this direction. And Unite is no exception to that. They are very much included.
Yeah. I think the thing that's just like a shame is like, if anyone has like the money to do it well, it is the Pokemon IP, which I think is kind of like the elephant in the room. It's just like, obviously you need to make, I get it. You have to make, I understand you have to make money.
Right. Yeah.
But also I feel like they're making a lot. Call me crazy. I don't know.
Yeah. Or at least as a brand, I feel like are. Is, I don't know about
right,
this game.
Right, I know it.
However many players nuanced. They have in it still. But yeah. So actually, okay. I think we talked about a lot of the problems. The Comfey bot, sure. It has become a whole thing.
Well, maybe that'll be a deep dive.
Yeah, that'll be a whole other episode. So again, if you want to learn more about it, I've heard the Facebook groups are adamantly talking about the Comfey bot. So
I'm the Facebook group correspondent. I love the Pokemon Unite Facebook group.
Being the secret reporter comment? From the Facebook group is the best.
I don't have Twitter on my phone anymore, but I have Facebook. And let me tell you, there's discourse.
Okay, people are talking. People are talking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It just seems like a lot of pretty big glaring issues. So hopefully these get adjusted as quickly as possible. But what I wanted to ask you, Bridget, is we talked about a few pretty big glaring things, right? Kind of the pay to win portion of this game that surrounds like the license journey system and the new Pokemon always releasing in that overtuned realm. And then we have the balancing decisions being monetarily focused. It's another big problem that most people have with this game. And then we have just kind of the game not working awesome and being a bit of a client mess. What, in your opinion, should be priority number one for the developers of this game to solve? Like, in a perfect world, it's all fixed. Like, we correct all these things. Balance in this game honestly feels at an okay state, in my opinion, overall. Maybe it's a little, like, pyramid-centric, with, like, the top tiers being a little too top-tiery. However, draft is, like, makes that a little easier. But still, yeah. I think even then, I think the meta's becoming a little too centralized, in my opinion. But either way, I'm curious, what would you approach first in terms of trying to get Unite back on track?
Honestly, there was obviously the recent patch of them stabilizing, them making the game work again. So draft is back. I've heard overall crashes have not been as rampant from what I've been able to watch on streams and stuff. It doesn't seem to be as bad as it was. It seems to be working. We have draft again, which, like you said, definitely helps from a meta perspective, just period. So super fine and dandy with that. This license journey thing, something needs to, because I feel like this is a thing that is, I'm sure, annoying to competitive players and honestly really impacting like the casual player base, very significantly. It just feels like it's a huge pain, and I couldn't tell you a single person who likes this change, at all. Obviously, I don't think they're going to just be like, just kidding, here are the coins back.
Yeah, I think that bridge is burned for sure. I don't think that's happening.
They need to just give us more of the license. I just feel like it's a very seemingly easy solution. Like, give us more of these gosh dang license points. Like, what are we? You can throw them in that freaking gotcha machine
for a game with
that
so
you haven't
many
touched.
Ridiculous tiny systems
pick a
everywhere.
Gotcha metric.
How did you not just
pick a gotcha metric?
How did you not shove your currency into every little spot so you have to seek to find it? You know what I mean? Oh, I just feel so straightforward.
It's so wild. This is like not super relevant, but there's actually like a really big like kind of cosplay Pokemon content creator mm-hmm. named Ollie Dreamer. And I didn't even know he played Unite, okay. but he tweeted about the fashion tickets recently and was like, are they ever going to update this? And I'm like, you play this? Like, this is a huge content. I didn't even know he played this game. I was like,
yeah,
my video game? And he's complaining about this? I'm like, guys, like, there is so... I don't think the player base is huge, but I feel like a lot more people play it than maybe we realize, especially because yeah. we're, like, in it so deep. Like, you know, not everyone who's playing this game is, like, watching on Twitch. Like, that's just yep. not
yep.
the reality. Sure. So I just, I don't know. I think that is impacting, like, every person playing the game. Fashion mm-hmm. tickets aside, I think license journeys need to be, like, something's they gotta give us some juice. Yeah.
Gosh, I would love, like, that might be my number one wish. So, with Pokemon Day coming up, like, it does have an opportunity for Unite to announce something. I think the Kanto birds have been rumored as, like, playable Pokemon up and coming. Don't know how I feel about that, genuinely. I feel like...
it's kind of weird. I don't know. I'm like, Zapdos is the middle guy.
Yeah, that's the strangest
the guy
one.
I play.
I honestly wish they only did Moltres, like, in a way. However, ooh, we yeah. already have Big Fire Bird in Ho-Oh. Which is strange. Like, we're going to
yeah.
have two big firebirds now, which is interesting.
And eating the nachos.
All the Charizards
we'll
we have, we're up to around and a billion Blaziken. Big firebirds. And, well, Blaziken's not in the game anymore. I don't know if you saw that patch.
Yeah, they hindrance resistant his yeah. freaking bird butt.
If you want, if you wanted something new to watch in a couple of these regions, I think Brazil's gonna have to find a new top path Pokemon because that Pokemon is, see you later.
Stinky.
We said we were gonna talk too much about the patch today, just because we have a few other things to talk about. But I would love them to be like, hey, we introduced the license journey recently, and due to feedback, they would never say this in a Pokemon Day announcement. Due to feedback, that's
sorry.
Insane. But even if they're like, and we're releasing a developer later on like upcoming changes to the game, and you can read that on our website right now. And then you go to the website, and they're like, hey, we heard the feedback. Check out all the bajillion ways you can earn license points now. I'm like, woo, I'm down. That would be kind of fun.
I would be, it feels very like attainable yeah. and like, just do it. Like I it's already yeah. like a bajillion times harder to get these licenses. Like you yeah. did the thing.
I feel like
you did,
tracks.
You checked that box.
You know, you don't need one giant tree probably. Like you could have like the supporter track, the all rounder track or something. Like, I don't know, ways to, well, the all rounder track would be tough. It'd be the longest one. Kind of would lap all the others by three or four.
But it would have like the cool guys. So I feel like a lot right. of people would be like, I gotta get the cool guy.
Yeah, I don't know. It would be, I think it would make sense to me, but I hope something like that happens. It feels like the right time because we've gotten developer letters around Pokemon Day before, I think. I don't know if I'm still, at least around anniversary, maybe Pokemon Day is not the time for it. Who knows? But
I don't know.
Personally, I hope that is something we can look forward to because right now it has been tough with the state of the game. The fixes have been nice. I've actually been like, I should play this game again. Plus Tinkaton got buffed. So, you know, I got a couple
that's
of reasons.
True.
And Sirfetch does look like my kind of mon. I've been watching
very
some gameplay
much.
Of that thing and that looks fun. Also, I don't know what it is with MOBAs in the last year or 2 years even, but every MOBA's putting in a reflection character. I don't know what's going on, but like League did it, and now Unite's doing it, and I'm pretty sure there was, what was the other MOBA I was thinking of? Pretty sure like the Dragon Ball one's got one too. Anyway, very interesting. It's like a weird
what's a
trend.
Reflection character?
Okay, the way I described it was like Zelda's like, in Smash Brothers, when you press just B, when you make the little deflection. Anyway, an ability flies at you, you press a button, you can deflect it. You know what I mean? And like send it back. However, I don't think Sirfetch works exactly like that. Like it's a little different, I think. I'm trying to remember. Wait, what did I say? Did I not say deflection?
Reflection. I might have said, I think I might have heard reflection.
No.
But that's what I
Blush
said.
Blush is also saying deflection. Yeah. I think I said reflection. I meant deflect.
Sure.
Well, to be fair, I think the
similar
one actually does reflect. Like, it, like, bounces back. But anyway.
I digress.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Anyway, it looks fun. We'll talk more about that Pokemon when it actually releases. Hey, another bird. Shout out. Another bird and another all-rounder. Really, we're covering all the
bases. A lot of bird comp. A lot of bird comp. Mm-hmm. Bird all-rounder comp, perhaps even.
Wow. I mean, you could have birds versus birds, two teams with draft.
Yeah, in draft, yeah.
you could ban birds, pick birds, it'd be a whole
and mess. Six birds, yeah. Depending what your bird definitions are, but I think it's doable.
Ripto, now I have to make a retraction about my reflection when I was trying to say deflection. Okay, let's move on to our next topic. This one is a fun one. If y'all remember, we have been doing release report cards for every Pokemon released in the year of 2025. Except for Mega Charizard Y. It didn't get included. But that's fine. We didn't talk about that.
It would have brought the GPA down. Report? Maybe other than in comp Silicu viability.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, I would have actually raised it there. Okay.
Report card report is an insane.
It is the time for my favorite segment of the night. Report card report. In which Bridget and I were in the lab, y'all. And by that, I mean on a website that had a GPA calculator earlier today.
And we put in actually too much work,
we were digging into the numbers. So I think what I want... So like I said, let's just review the release report cards. We judged Pokemon based on... Here, I'll pull up Vaporeons right now that we had so we can take a look at it. Report cards we had are we ranked these Pokemon on how fun they were, on how balanced we thought they were. Reminder, if that Pokemon is uber broken or incredibly underpowered, it would result in an F. That's why Vaporeon's got that lovely letter in that category. We also rated the Pokemon how well we thought it achieved its flavor / theme, how viable the Pokemon is in solo queue, and how viable the Pokemon is in competitive. And then we gave it a Hundo Burger level between 1 and 5. More on that later. But anyway, that is the system we worked out. Bridget, should we start with the overall GPA or should we go category by category?
I feel like category by category was pretty. When we were doing it, that was kind of fun. I like seeing it that broken out.
Okay. Chat, I want you to guess on what you think the overall letter grade, like an average letter grade for all of the Pokemon released, which would technically be 13 Pokemon in the year of 2025. We've judged them off 12, but it'll be fine. Where you think they end up in fun, balance level, flavor theme, Silicu viability, and competitive viability. I'll give chat a couple seconds to throw in some suggestions if they had for fun, but Bridget, just before we get there, did any of these like report cards really surprise you when we were going through the numbers and like, whoa, how did that report card end up that way compared to how we feel about it now?
I feel like clearly the one that was like the funniest to me to look at was Suicune's. Mm. Suicune's is, I can't even remember. It's also fun to look back on the ones that released in like the beginning of last year because I really don't remember. I don't remember how Suicune released. Right. I actually have no clue. I just knew it was an all-rounder, so I was like, I don't care. I don't like this guy. I don't care. But seeing the solo queue and comp grades be a D plus and an F and it getting 100. I don't know. We really just ripped this thing apart.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. Like, we hated it.
We truly did.
Must have been bad. Because we do it based off how they release.
Exactly.
That's a very specific asterisk.
Yes. Which, yeah, I... Flareon's giving us the yo. Like,
It's so funny.
Yeah.
It must have been really bad.
It had to be.
Flareon's is saying it was OP. So I don't know. I don't remember.
Maybe we went off like after it was like insta nerfed or something. I don't know.
That's worth a listen back if anyone is so inclined, because I do not know what we did.
It could be an hour of us just talking about nothing we know, apparently. Okay, so if anybody's unfamiliar with how GPAs work, a 4.0 GPA is an A average. It is a very good grade. It's technically not A+, but it is an A average across the board. Report cards for all the Pokemon released in 2025 ended up being a 3.325 average, which is very impressive, which is a B plus, is the average stat on all the Pokemon for fun in the year 2025.
Oh, for fun.
For fun. Yeah, specifically for fun. Which I think makes sense. I think we're pretty generous in the fun category with these Pokemon because they tend to make them pretty fun. There was only a few that did tragically bad in fun. I think like Mega Charizard X was like a pretty low rating.
Yeah, I don't think we were kind to the Megas.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Actually, we were kinder than I thought. Mega Charizard X, because we just didn't do Y, got a C plus.
That might have been
in
the lowest.
Fun. Yeah, that actually was the lowest. Yeah, we're actually really nice on the fun.
Yeah.
The fun metric.
Well, shout out for you for really pumping Elkremie's numbers in at least one category.
I stand by that. I think Elkremie is fun.
Yeah,
I stand by that.
I think they're doing pretty well.
I had to find Dupsack on that one. I think he was in that call.
Yeah, you versus Dupsack on the Elkremie was an intense report card segment for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. The next category we rated Pokemon on was balance. And 2025 was a tough year. Overall, they ended up at a 1.925 in terms of balance. So a C letter grade. C's do get degrees, but
they do.
It is also the lowest stat out of any on the report cards that we gave throughout the year, which I find, I mean, that makes sense. A lot of things were releasing pretty broken, and so therefore receiving low marks here, but then still getting high marks in their viability stats because, well, they're very good.
We gave a lot of F's in balance.
I think like one of the only categories we've ever really thrown it in, except for competitive viability, in which case somehow Suicune got an F. So
that is, I can't stop laughing. It was the only F in competitive viability, and it was like the most wrong.
Oh, why does anyone listen to this show? Okay, next did was flavor. Flavor was a pretty impressive stat for a lot of these Pokemon as well. The Megas hurt this category, in my opinion. I think they did really well on all of the non-Mega releases, and then the Megas came out. Except for Alolan Raichu. You didn't like the stars. Okay, it got a...
I was anti.
Anti-star.
Explain flavor to Flareons.
Oh, so flavor is... It's honestly more of like a design award. Like, how well does... When you're playing the Pokemon in Unite, how well does it make you feel... or think about that Pokemon. Like, when you're playing, you're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. That's how I thought Palmot would do XYZ. That kind of thing. Like, it's more of an ethereal feeling. Anyway, on a letter grade, we gave it a 3.2 GPA. Yeah, vibes-based, exactly. And it got a B+. So same as fun, technically, in terms of letter grade, but just slightly lower on the GPA average, but still very impressive. Moving on to the next one. The category that actually topped the charts this time around was the solo queue viability. So any of the Pokemon released in this year doing pretty well on the solo queue ladder based on this report card at 3.45 GPA and a B+ rating. And then finally, competitive viability at 2.825 with a B-. So there you go. Competitive viability a little tougher for some of these Pokemon, but overall, maybe some misranks on us and some great power levels in there. Bridget, you want to talk about Hundo Burger level?
Yes. So the burgers are different than a grade. So it caused some math that I had to do manually that I had to ask Zoinks how to do because GPA calculator wouldn't do it for me. So Hundo Burgers are, if anything is vibes-based, it's the burgers. Yeah. It's just 1 through 5, no halvesies. You have to get a whole burger. Right. How many burgers do we want to give it? But since we are computing an average, this is a half burger situation. But typically, no halvesies. But overall, Pokemon Unite got 2.5 Hundo Burgers out of 5. So... right in the middle, which is kind of funny because we gave a lot of, like, one burger Pokemon.
Yeah.
I think we had 4 one single burgers.
Wow.
And it was Suicune. Palmot, which we, like, disrespected Palmot so much.
It was underpowered. I think it was. Like, and it was doing damage to its teammates there for a bit. Was that that same
Okay, maybe
patch?
That's what...
Gosh,
that might
was
have
so
been.
Funny when you walked up and just thunder punched your own teammates and they go down.
Imagine giving it more burger. Like, I am, like ashamed at what we did to Paumont, but Paumont right. single burger, Mega Lucario single burger,
yeah,
and Mega Gyarados was also we for some reason gave Mega Charizard X two burgers. So
wow. it's blue.
Take that with what you will. And there was only one 5 burger Pokemon. And it was Delmize.
Yeah.
And I stand by that.
And again, I think Deuce Next was on for that one. He's a...
I think we just channeled. We were really high on... We were... We all Delmize was like...
I still like Delmize. I'm still all saying, in on Delmize, yeah.
That might be like the last good release. Yeah. Sorry, no, team. But
it was tough since then. Yeah. It's funny. I see Flareon say that Meowth better be F tier. Yeah, Pokemon was fun, and now we got Meowth in game. Hey, maybe it'll be balanced by the time we get around to the report card for it.
Yeah, we won't have information to base it off on release, but we'll see. We'll do Meowth and Sirfetch'd next week, there we go. We think.
So I know all of you were already doing the math at home, but that does make the overall report card report a 2.92 GPA. If we include all the subjects or all the categories as subjects, we end up at an average of a B letter grade above all categories for the release of this year. Next time we do this, I'll have a much better graphic.
Okay. I think we... Also, we talked it through pretty well.
Who made this Twitch account, by the way?
Oh, I was losing my mind when I first read that in the chat, but I was like, maybe these Winx just want me to call attention to it, so I didn't, but that's really good.
Oh my god. Alright, well, hey, shut up. Anyway, so that is the remainder of the report card. But thank you all for sticking with us as we reported those all year.
How long. Do you feel the B reflects how Pokemon Unite did last year?
No, I think it should be lower. I think the release
if we
overall,
had Charizard, why? It probably would be.
They have like B minus maybe or something, but yeah.
Yeah, so. Because we do solo queue viability kind of like saves like I don't know. We kind of have like an inverse situation. Uh-huh. I think my recommendation for this year, if anyone wants to give us notes up before first report card of the year, I think we should have like a bugged category.
Okay.
That like counts okay. against it. So just so we can make the math harder for ourselves next
Ooh,
time.
Yeah. I'm so down.
And I feel like a lot of times there are bugs.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's like... We should have, like, a bug grade, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ripto's saying we could try the math without Solicute. That is true. It is,
I think so.
It is doing
But it's,
well
like, an inverse. Like, it's almost, like, balance is, like, the inverse of Solicute yeah. viability. You know what it I is. Mean? Like, the kind of, like...
It is. Yeah, that is strange.
But comp viability is in there, too. I don't know. Anyway, it's up for discussion. This is... We could have further discussion. We're yeah, open. Yeah. But
this is good, though. I like that. We'll probably have to change report cards in some way. I like that.
Yeah, I think we should.
All right. Let's jump to our final category of tonight's episode, since we have finished the report card report. Let's talk esports. Let's talk the competitive scene right now. Last episode, the graveyard episode that will not be released, we did a little bit of a preview on like the regional leagues for Europe, Latin America, and North America. Yeah, we talked a lot about some of the teams, but now we've actually had them play. So we're going to have a little bit more to talk about in each of those. But also, Asia Champions League is in full swing at the moment. So much so that this weekend is going to be the conclusion of the regular season for Southeast Asia, as well as India. Japan still has some league play to play out. But those two regions are going to conclude and then have additional winter tournament, like as an open a little bit later. But still, those are going to finish up. So let's pull up one of them. Let's do, we'll see how Overload's doing later. Okay, first up, Southeast Asia. So, interesting thing about these teams, or about this setup, is that the top three teams from Southeast Asia will be going to Asia Champions League. Meaning that due to the King of the Hill format for playoffs, the top two teams are already qualified to head to the Asia Champions League. That is Onyx Rise and T1. Pretty sick. Onyx, we're pretty big fans of Onyx Rise here at the podcast, you know. We do get to say hi to Eeyore every now and then when he comes in for the new episodes. And obviously, T1 being signed was a huge moment in Unite Esports. So having both of them already qualified for ACL is pretty sick.
Yeah, and T1 like showed out. Obviously, they won the very first league day, and then they kind of had like such a bad time in the next like week. But since then, they've picked it up quite a bit. So, yeah, obviously, with such a big name, I just feel like it's good from like T1 is in our freaking video game. I'm glad they're doing well, but selfishly I'm really happy to see Onik have such a great run. They I feel like didn't have the best performance at Worlds this past year, at least not as good. Like they were what, second or third in Hawaii, so I think they want to do a bit better last year. I don't remember exactly where they netted out, so seeing them kind of dominate this competitive region was really fun.
Yeah, it was a blast. You could take a look at their standings. Obviously, day 4 and 5 for Onik, just crushing it at 2020. And then Crazy. T1 also getting, what, second place in both of those days. So I think the bracket definitely reflecting. And yeah, Blush in chat saying this bracket does look familiar. It was. Interestingly enough, it was what India did in their bracket last year. And now it seems like every region is also doing it, which is really crazy and exciting to see. So this is the Onik Rise squads that you can see on screen right now. Same with T1 being that Korean team. So cool to see we have at least one Korean team that is going to be at at the Asia Champions League. There could be a second, but FN is going to be starting in last place, which is going to be a real tough bracket run. However, reminder, India, it happened. So
it's been done. Yeah. Which is crazy. But also, obviously, have to give a shout out to Evos. I feel like they've had a tough time in the league, but Slash has been on that team for the entire like time this year. And I think they did actually really well. I don't know if it was day 4 or day 5, if you want to like scroll down to the group stage performance. Yeah, they won. Oh, it was day 3. Yeah, they actually won day 3 of the league, which was crazy considering so the way it worked in SEA was like, if you, whoever you played first, I think it was like a single elim bracket kind of. I don't even think they streamed like the like losers bracket side of it, but maybe they played for points. But so essentially if you like got knocked out, you were kind of like out. It was very punishing. It's not like round robin like Japan. So they had a tough time, but to see them actually like come through and like win an entire league day was really cool. So I have to shout out the 2 abroad English players.
Of course. Yeah. No, I think we were all super interested to see how well Overlord and Slash's careers would go after they made the shift. And yeah, so far, pretty exciting for Slash's team. Obviously, beating in that run, winning, I think wins on T1 and even Full Sense are really huge. Like these two wins are big for them. So if they can find a way to channel that going into the playoffs this weekend, that would be massive. Let's take a quick look at their playoff run potential. So they are going to start in round 3. They will play the winner of Team Nemesis and either Maiden Timeland or FN Esports. They, because again, of this King of the Hill format, they will start in round 3. But if they win there, they will have to go on to beat Rival Esports, Full Sense, and, I guess just Rival Esports and Full Sense to qualify.
Yes. So Full Sense has, like, the clearest path to ACL finals since they just have to, like, win one game. But, yeah, it's really, this format's so interesting because whoever's, like, I mean, which I guess is true in any tournament, like someone's playing into you after they've already like won. So they already have like momentum and pending like how many they've won. I guess it could be a pro or a con. Like they've already been playing a lot of games. Maybe they're like tired or whatever, but it also kind of means they're like, they're warmed up. They're locked in. They're feeling good. Like, I don't know. It's very interesting. And we've kind of seen, like you mentioned with India, like teams who start lower, like can kind of pop off and go on a run. So it'll be exciting.
It's a little like mind over matter in that way, right? Like,
you
talked about, like, that's a lot about the mental, but there's also like footage, you know, like a team that's playing,
true,
let's say you're round four and a team that started in round one makes it all the way to you. Well, you just watched that team play for three matches in a row. You know what they're going to be drafting. Like, come on. If you're in round one, are you preparing for all of the other seven teams in terms of draft? No, you're probably just focusing on what you need to prepare for in front of you and try to be your best game. And so a team is going to have a lot of game footage, an idea of what is your team's trying to accomplish during that day. So we'll see how that goes. I assume these are all going to be best of fives, but I don't know that for a fact. Maybe for just being a long day, maybe they'll just be best of threes. I don't know. But
I feel like they're usually best of threes, but I mean, they always tinker with the format, so not sure, but
yeah, they could.
I think in the past they've been best of threes.
That makes sense. Price pool, pretty solid. I mean, especially once you get into that top four, $3,500, $5,500, $65,000, and $8,000 for top spots in the ACL. Pretty impressive. It is a season-long tournament, obviously, but hey, big playoff implications, of course. Let's talk about India, their playoffs, and then we'll do a quick Japan check-in before we get to the Western Regional League. So, taking a look at India, this is going to be their playoff bracket. Maybe I'll look over here in overview just so I can look at the team rosters as well if we'd like. So the big difference with India is that they only have two slots in the Asia Champions League, meaning that one team will qualify from the open tournament that will be happening later, and one team will be qualifying from this playoff bracket that is about to happen. They also had 10 teams in their league, as opposed to the, like, eight in SEA, right? Am I getting that right?
Yeah, all of the Asian leagues have, like, a different amount of teams. Yeah. And interestingly enough, India's not. India has, like, more than ACL, but or more than SEA, but they have only one spot from their league to ACL finals, whereas SEA has three out of eight teams. So, I mean, I think it's based off of, like, performance, obviously. India kind of having the tough time of not, like, having gotten to go to a lot of previous worlds. They were at this past one, I believe, at least one of their teams. But, yeah, so kind of interesting. I always thought it was interesting that India got, I mean, and this is an increase in teams from the Indian League last year. So I think they got two extra teams. So it's cool to see that at least, like, grew in, like, number of teams, but they kind of have to earn, quote unquote, their, like, ACL Worlds spot increases, I guess, like SEA regions have.
Wow, India, just looking at the numbers too, has some really interesting storylines going into this playoff. Like, so Reckoning Esports has the number one spot, right? However, they, because of this format only having one spot, they still have to play for their opportunity to play in the Asia Champions League final. Like, whoever matches up against them in the grand final, they will still be having them as their opponent. However, if you look at the stat between them and Godlike, Godlike, by the way, that team that went on the hero run, from the bottom of the bracket all the way to the other end. They're going to be starting in second place this time. Maybe not where they want to be. They're like, wait, no, hold on.
We want to start at the bottom.
Yeah, give us momentum.
We should have thrown the league,
There is only a 4-point difference between them and first, and then only a 3-point difference between them and Godlike. So, which I think is crazy. If you take a look at just the days, I don't know, I feel like day two for Godlike is the difference between them and first place in the league. Like, a
it's cool that
finish,
like,
which is so damaging.
Rough. Yeah, it's cool that, like, so it looks like India League had 4 days of competition, or maybe I'm misreading day five. But it looks like there have been 4 different winners of all.
Whoa. Okay.
Of them.
So Reckoning.
I didn't look at day five.
Yeah. Reckoning, Revenant, True Rippers. Okay. Reckoning won twice.
Okay. That was the double.
Once, I think.
Okay. So Reckoning. Oh, there. Okay. Yes. I see. I see.
Yeah. Day one.
I was misreading.
Interesting.
So that, I mean, that makes sense why they're top seed since they've won it twice. But I think it's cool that, like, 4 out of the 5 have been different teams that won. So that's a competitive. That's like for those even four teams to be, I would consider in the top to only have one spot. Plus, like, I mean, always got to root for Soul 8 a little bit because I am most familiar with them. So, and they're, I guess, number six seed. So
they're
it's like,
have to
man.
Have a run. Yeah, they are starting extremely low in this bracket. Tough end of the season for them. You can see they started with a second place finish in the first day of competition and then kind of falling downhill from there. Yeah, tough spot to be. Flareons is asking us how this format worked with 10 teams. I actually don't know because I'm looking at the group stage and it's like, was it just randomly seeded every day of competition? Like, why are these four teams starting from behind? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I was doing research on the Indian League when they first started, and I actually don't know how they... It's kind of hard. Like, Sky Esports, I think, is the account on Twitter and, like, YouTube where they, like, stream and, like, post it and stuff. But it's not a lot of information. Okay.
Well,
so
one day,
they
one
don't
day
really
we'll sort out
say
India.
Much about what and why is happening, but if it would be anywhere, it would be from them. Or you could probably just ask a player in the Indian League.
Yeah,
they're all pretty nice if they, well, if you speak their language.
Yeah, Flareons, I agree that would make sense. However, I saw Welt started in those, like, behind in three of the days, at least. So I truly don't understand. But anyway,
one day
we'll figure it out. This is the bracket, though, the Reckoning being in that grand final spot. I think Reckoning versus Godlike grand final is the most likely scenario. With that being said, Revenant, Troopers, and even SAUL, I would all consider teams that could go on runs and force their way into a grand final. I might be giving SAUL a little too much gas just from history, but that's kind of India's, like, MO sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, a team will wake up every now and then and just have a crazy run.
Yeah, I honestly am not, like, super familiar with kind of the other, like, lower teams on the standings. But, like, Soul 8, like, you just kind of can't sleep. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. We'll see. That'll be a fun one. I'm actually excited for the India finals.
Yeah, me too. All right, final ACL region to check in with, and that's going to be Japan, who have yet to finish their all the stats on the Japan Wikipedia. Love it. We've been
Jesus
got
Christ.
Like you said. That's awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. We get it. They stream every game.
Yeah.
We get it.
It's truly remarkable. But okay, here we go.
Yeah, three streams is crazy, and forcing them all to start at the exact same time, so nothing gets, like, off schedule. It is so funny.
Pretty epic. Okay, here is the group stage. So currently, Fennel leading with a very, very impressive 17-3 in their match score.
Insane.
Just dominating so far. A plus 20 map differential. The only team to get into the positive double digits in terms of a map differential. Scars and Reject having a tied match score, but a Reject having a slightly worse map differential. 25-22 is actually pretty close to dead even. I guess only Enter Force getting a little bit closer with that plus two at 25.
Yeah, a lot of these, it's really like 2 through 9. Like, it's the 2 through 9 teams are, like, their win-loss, especially, I guess specifically looking at map ratios, are very close, and I don't know if that's just a result of, like, round robin format, but the way Fennel is just, like, pulled ahead so hard is staggering. Yeah,
let's take a look at their group stage, because I have to imagine they only have, like, two more days of competition. Oh,
it might be I don't know. I'll have to check and see what I wrote down for my schedules, but it might be, like, sometimes they'll do, like, 2 days and, like, 1 weekend kind
that
of thing,
true.
You know?
Yeah, that makes sense. Oh, jeez. Yeah. Fennel having, I mean, let's face it. Last day,
Japan,
an easier schedule, right? Like, those four. But yeah, what a. So.
Yeah. Japan ACL will end February. For us, it'll be, like, the night of the 6th and the night of the 7th are when they'll play their last 2 days, so that weekend. So soon.
To Flareon's, to answer your question, if it is also King of the Hill, the fun part is kind of. It is.
Jesus.
It is. Well, okay. It's not. It's a double elimination bracket in which the teams will be inserted into all of these upper bracket rounds. So kind of like King of the Hill, but there is a loser's bracket. So one team, I think, will start in the upper bracket final. I think that'll probably be the highest seed, like probably Fennel. But like whatever Fennel, team yeah. is the highest seed will start in the upper bracket final. And then there will be teams that start in the upper brackets. A team that starts in this upper bracket semi, a team that starts in this upper bracket quarter, and then two teams that will start in upper bracket round, yeah, in this round two, and two teams that, and then four teams that will start in upper bracket round one. Yes, this, it was this way last year. Basically just like a heavily seeded. Can I link this page? Absolutely. Here, I'll do the overview for you. Into this, Uzi.
Liquipedia is the goat.
They've settled their game a little bit, by the way. It as a whole website, these little drop downs and stuff, very clean.
Yeah, it's nice.
I kind of like this. So
it's cute.
Shout out. I know the Liquipedia is like only edited by like a few community members who just like the game in the space. So honestly,
and like know how to code.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. That's the fun part about Liquipedia.
I've hit the edit button before and I'm like, oh, this is not where I should be.
Oh, this, I'm lost. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, not for me. Not for me.
Yeah, I think someone in chat, I think it was Ripto, saying like kind of surprising to see like Zeta this low. I think that is extremely true. I am pretty surprised about that. I know, I think recently they did like bump Holly off and put in Noda again, or really? Wajiro. So I think they kind of brought back their old team captain back into the mix.
That is kind of crazy. I didn't even really clock that because the teams are so different. Yeah. Or not so. None of the teams are the same as they were last year. Yeah.
Zeta's just one player difference. So I think this change brings them back to five of the same.
Okay. That's crazy.
Yeah, of last year, right? Yeah, because Tommy was there too. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was like kind of new kid on the block. Mm-hmm. Wasn't it someone other than, I don't know why I don't remember Romu.
Rom. He just goes by Rom in game.
Oh, duh.
The Inteleon sniper boy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I don't know because Japan ACL has been a journey. Reject being as high as they are.
I know.
Is kind of very impressive, if I'm being honest.
They have had a crazy... we got to look at the group stage for...
They have had a crazy journey.
Yeah. Fourth in day one. And reminder, their group stage plays out like Swiss, right? I'm not crazy about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So, like, the teams who won in the first round will, like, be queued up to play each other. Mm. So there will always be a team that, like... won every round.
Yes.
And the team that lost every round.
Yeah. I think you could go 3-1 and win technically in this.
Yeah, I guess if you lost the last. Well, no, because the way it works, someone will have to be 4-0.
No.
I don't know.
No, you can 3-1 in this group.
Oh, I guess if no one's lost by
Yeah.
Round four.
Exactly. That is where you would always have the 4-0. Because then, yeah, you'd have 2 3-0 teams going up against each other. But things can get mixy. But anyway, like we were talking about with Reject having the weird one. So day one, Reject goes fourth place, very respectable fourth place. Beats Enterforce, QT Dig, and Insomnia. So three solid teams. They take a loss to Scars. Maybe not get to the end of the lose. Next day, they go 10th. Like that Reject plummets.
It was like the next day. I feel like that was like a one weekend thing.
It was, yeah.
So it was like not looking good.
Then they bounce back to third place. The next day they tie for second, I guess, with Axie's Wave because they got the same amount of match score and map score. And then in day five, they dip again. And they go down to ninth place. Ninth place, by the way, at 2-2. Like... that is
insane.
That's a tough spot,
but it's punishing. It is like, I don't know. It all adds up.
Mm-hmm. They went.
They have so many
six,
like.
Though. So at the very least, they pushed a couple of those games to 2-1. Like the ones they mm-hmm. won. Yeah, you don't want to do it in the ones you win. You really like to lose those at least 1-2. You know, to help out with the map differential. But
right.
All that being said, if we look at the overall standings, Reject is in third place. They're not like. They would have to have like a 12th level performance or something in one of these days for them to really plummet down these standings. But reminder, just how these tournaments are seeded, a top three or top four seed is huge. I think top two seed automatically guarantees you Worlds. Or sorry, ACL.
ACL finals.
ACL finals.
Yeah, I would imagine they have, at least three spots as well.
Yeah.
To go to ACL finals. Well, from the league?
Yes.
Oh yeah, four teams qualified to finals. Yeah.
Top four qualify to finals, and then they do have a winter tournament that might qualify like two teams or something.
Yeah, they definitely did one last year, but I'm not sure if they've expanded to two this year or not.
Being the host country, pretty big bonus for some of these teams, I think.
Japan gets the goods. But yeah, it's been fun. There's definitely been some fun, like, surprise teams and like SCARs and DFM. I don't think those were on anyone's like radars really, or not like as much as like a Zeta or even like Insomnia. I think Insomnia is like fifth or sixth, but still those are kind of like the surprise teams. I want to say SCARs was like
crazy. Like, man, what a run from them.
Well, SCARs, like the Young Bucks, like the new kids. Yeah, they came from like the high school league, I think, which is cool.
That is cool. We've got a history of some pretty good high school players coming out of Japan, so that's exciting. Yeah, SCARs, I was even going to throw in, like, Enterforce, like, 36, but, I mean...
Yeah, they kind of fell, but they had a really strong start, I think.
Right, like, they've got wins against good teams, so I think if they keep pulling that off, they could still be a contender, so we'll see. But okay, that's Asia Champions League. If you want to watch anything this weekend, in the evenings, Asia Champions League is going to be the place you want to be, for SEA and India concluding their playoffs. That is going to be so fun. King of the Hill style tournaments going to be very exciting. I think Japan probably plays this weekend as well. I don't know that though, for sure. I don't know if
they were supposed to have a winter tourney this weekend, but with them like move it. I don't know when the rescheduled dates are, but the original like second round of winter tournament was supposed to be this weekend. So Japan ACL isn't playing until February, like the next weekend, the 6th and the 7th. So I need to look into when the winter tournament dates are now, because I really don't know anymore since moved them.
All right, let's start talking about the regional leagues and where we are sitting right now. We'll start with Europe, of course, because that is what happens first in broadcast order, I guess. I think Europe is an interesting one. I think it's playing out roughly how I thought it would go in terms of like my preseason predictions. I thought BH3 was going to be the best team in the league. I think so far they are. I think honestly, if I was to make like a preseason prediction, I would just switch Engage and Los Caracatos was where I probably would have ended up being. But Engage has been outperforming from what I've seen, and Los Caracatos, I think, having kind of like an underperforming start to the season. But either way, Europe has been really fun. Like, I have been really enjoying the European tournament, which has been exciting.
Yeah, I obviously will watch the main broadcast. I'm a Bruv supporter, so I was excited to see how he would do on Peps, obviously with like the fall of Nouns. It kind of put Europe in a fun spot, I would say. Just a lot of familiar like faces, player names, but on a lot different, you know, iterations of how these teams used to play out. Obviously, Utah and Mego will remain together forever. I was really excited about Utah this year, and I hope they're on BH3. I hope they continue to have success. I feel like they could, I don't know. I know Utah and Mego have been to Worlds before, but obviously they couldn't go last year. So I am definitely hype on those two teams. Obviously, I know the most about them, and they're doing well, but I'm trying to lock in more on Europe. I was hoping a lot of grassroots leagues have sprung up for teams that didn't make it in to these leagues, and I've been helping cast some of the NA and EU ones, so it's been fun to see who's like right on the outskirts of these leagues, but I need to lock into more of the league teams for Europe specifically.
No, I get it. It has been, it's fun. There's so much Unite to watch these days right now, which is exciting. That has always been the cadence, eh? It's like, no matter how the game's doing, the competitive scene is still really hype.
True.
I think the biggest thing with EU for me currently is just EUIC is right around the corner. The tournament where we are going to be, you know, awarding our very first world championship spot at, which I think is so exciting. And I, from last I checked, the majority, if not all 8 of these teams are signed up for that tournament. So I can't wait. Like, it feels like the league, like, we're going to get 2 more days of competition this weekend, and it's going to be like, okay, we're starting to see where this ends up. My heart broke when I saw that Peps versus BH3 was not on main broadcast, by the way. That was devastating.
Devastating
to see that happen, but we did get some cool off-stream footage, but kind of cool to see kind of the two top dogs already play against each other in the league. So, reminder of the format, every team will play each other twice before the end of the season. So, Peps, I think, just counting down the days until they get to play against BH3 again. Okay, let's talk like just day 3 and day 4 here really fast, Bridget. Like, out of all these teams,
okay.
I don't know if you can see it all on screen with the day 3 being in the top right, the day 4 being in the bottom left. If you have, what is like a match of the week for EU to watch?
Ooh.
Personally, okay. I think it is likely, I'll throw mine in, it's probably going to be Peps Komai. I think it's like the match of the week. That makes the most sense. I feel like Komai, it feels weird to say because I think they ended 3rd. They bounced back pretty heavy in day 2, but reminder, I think they played the 2 weakest teams in Europe on day 2, which is really going to help their score, and they kind of bounced back up to 3rd place in the standings. But this feels like when they lost to BH3, it was also close. So now it's like, okay, now we are truly fighting for 2nd place between Peps and Komai. So I think that is like the match to watch for me. But how about you? Do you agree, or do you have anything else catch your eye?
That one, I feel like day 4 technically seems a bit more. I'm sure I'll be like engaged in BH3 is probably going to be a good one on day 3, but for day 4, I am more excited, I guess, for Engage and Komai. I mean, I guess both those Engage games are going to be.
They're
lit
interesting.
Because...
If there's any team that I feel like could maybe coin flip, it's like them or Volt, right? Like them or Volticons.
Really?
So like I think Engage could beat Koma. You know what I mean? Like, I think they could flip that around and pull up. And I think Volticons, I wouldn't predict them to beat Peps, but I think there's a chance they like flip that
non-zero.
Around. You know what I mean? Just some other interesting games. I think like Avalanche so far has been, like, kind of struggled. So early on in the league, they have not had even a map win so far. But their first on stream broadcast of day 4 or the first day of the weekend will be against Los Katakados, who's another team that's kind of like struggled to get their feet under them in the start of the tournament. So like, and again, when the playoff cutoff is, like, it's not all the teams, right? And so some of these, like, teams that are going to be on the bottom of the standings, you're going to be fighting for every match win you can get. Like, if I'm Avalanche, I'm locking in for that Los Katakados game. Like, that's what I'm prepping for. Win the, like, winnable games in front of you. You know what I mean? So, I think that
Right. Go for the, like, baby steps before the big steps.
Exactly. Okay, well, there it is. Cool. We have our match of the week for EU, which will be Peps Komai, and then potential coin flip on, like, Komai Engage, or even Katakados Avalanche. We'll see. Okay.
Cool.
There's no sports betting in Pokemon anyways, but who cares? I wouldn't bring it up.
Those are our recommendations.
Right, exactly. There is Europe. Let's talk about Latin America. Truly the most
Jesus
parody.
Christ.
Like, it is actually so insane. It is so hard to predict some of these
it's
ones.
Evil.
Yeah. Taking a look, though, my Vibes-based power rankings absolutely crushed it at the start of the week with Force Gaming and 3-0 fashion. I love that Force Gaming is starting off strong for a few reasons. One, them just being an ACL rep, I think, is really cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they are, sure, their LAIC ended in an unfortunate way, but it was still a great tournament for them. You know, that's always tough. Really, like, you're ending on a 3rd place, but it was an invite to ACL. It's like mixed emotions all over the board. We would have loved to have had a Brazil team in the finals, you know what I mean? Just for some energy.
People to show up in the room.
Right.
No offense.
That being said,
hey, Brazilians ride hard for
they did.
Their people.
That being said, them being in 1st, I think, is actually pretty sick. Stamina being in 2nd in standings to me is wild. I guess they're like
They're tied with Peru.
Yeah.
But
yeah. It is just kind of crazy. But anyway, let's take a look.
You need to respect stamina.
I do. I mean, they beat CACM and Infamous, and then they took a loss. But they took a loss to Entity 7. Like, that is crazy. Like, that was a weird game where they got beat out there, but.
That is weird. I wonder, because E7 is LATAM North as well, right?
Yes.
Or are they? Okay, I thought so. Maybe they have, like, secret technology. Wait, no.
I think they are LATAM South. Because I think it's them and Infamous that are the LATAM South invited teams. Because Peru had to play through Open.
If you remember
that, that crazy tournament.
I don't know why. Yeah. Maybe I'm thinking of, like, E7 Giannis, which was LATAM North.
Which, and that is essentially the stamina team at this, in terms of, or CACM. I've lost track of rosters at this point.
I couldn't tell you, but I think that's where my confusion comes from, so that's on me.
But anyway, we talked about
Ping.
Force.
It was Ping.
Yes, there we go. otherwise, I think maybe a bit of a surprise for Infamous to dip down in the way they did. I felt like they had a really good showing at LAIC, so it was a bit surprised to see them end at 1-2. But again, just it's only been 3 matches. Like, we are very early into these seasons. Whereas we're talking about, like, the end of seasons and some of the ACL runs. We're talking about the start of seasons here in the regional leagues in the West, which is an exciting spot to be, for sure.
Yeah, it's kind of fun to have them. It's obviously a lot going on. Uh-huh. And it's kind of, like, hard to watch everything and then, like, ingest everything and, totally, you know, think about it. But I like it. I would always rather. I don't know. I know the league situation in our regions is, like, a little, like, but, uh-huh, man, from a, like, viewing standpoint, it's already been, like, so much fun. So I'm excited.
I think it's pretty good. I'm happy with its results so far. Obviously, next year we'll see how things go. But yeah, I do think, these matches have been fun. I do feel like, I think you're talking about, like, I do feel bad for the teams, like, on the outside looking in, but I think it has been a blast so far.
And to be fair, Infamous they played Force,
okay,
and Stamina.
Oof, yeah.
So I'm trying to see.
And then who'd they beat then? Toozy. Okay. And then a 2-1. I remember that being a great game, actually. I remember that being, like, one of my favorite games to watch. Infamous versus Toozy was a good one. So, okay, Infamous. So, okay, let's talk about it. If Infamous was a team that I thought underperformed, their schedule going into next week is against DreamHack, a game that I think they should definitely win. Like, I think you're their
nice
favorite.
Yeah.
Then you go up against E7, who, kind of world beaters a little bit, but also in-region rival. You gotta beat your in-region rivals, you know?
Yeah.
So see how that one goes. And then their last one is against CACM. That's a really tough opponent. So, but I think even if Infamous goes 2-1, I think they're happy with the weekend. There's a chance they go 3-0. But, like, I think, like, here, Infamous, like, for your season, you kind of need to go 2-1, I think, personally.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
Like, okay, if we had a goal going into week 2 for each team, we won't do. It's going to take too long. We're already over an hour. but I think, yeah, for Infamous, you got to go 2-1. You got to flip your score from last time. DreamHack, 1-2. Like, I honestly think, like, guys, like, we got to, let's just get some wins on the board. Force, yeah, I'm going to keep the dominance going. Like, Force plays E7, Stamina, and 2Z. I think this is a
nice,
very achievable 3-0 weekend for Force. I think they could extend to 6-0. You know how good you would feel at 6-0, like, after, like, being 2 weekends into the season? Like, that would be, that would be incredible.
Nasty. What about Peru? Peru's had, okay, like, such an interesting year as, like, the reigning world champs. Obviously, like, shocked everyone with how they did at LAIC, which was not great. And then had, like, an issue with whoever their sponsored org was going to be. So they didn't even do the invite route, like you said earlier. They played in their open qualifier and won, which is hard. That's awesome. That's so sick. We dropped the losers. That was a stressful day. Oh, I remember panic. I was driving back from Chicago, and that was scary. I was like listening to it on the drive back, and I was like, oh my God, what is happening? But like, truly insane that they made it into this league now. Like we said earlier, they're tied for second. Who did they lose to?
They lost to Force 2-0 was who they lost to on the second day of competition. Yeah, which I expected that one to be closer. Like, that's one of those matchups you would kind of expect to be, like, number one versus number two, or, you know, like, whichever team wins that kind of takes the lead. It was a bummer. Again, I feel like we had the two top teams off broadcast, which is
evil work.
Yeah, it's a bummer. However, a little peek behind the curtain. I know a lot of the scheduling right now is done with an effort to get, like, a rotation of teams on the main broadcast, I think, is their effort.
Fair.
Throughout the season, that might change. We might have a little more. Anyway, more on that later.
No storylines, et cetera.
Exactly. And like, you know, when matches are like, oh my gosh, like this will determine a like, playoff place or whatever, that'll have
ooh,
to.
Yeah.
We're going to get to that eventually. We're only in day, we'll be at the end of day four, which again, we have 10 days of competition, which is so sick.
That's so cool. Uh-huh. Yeah. I like how long are.
Me too.
Leagues have turned out to be.
Going into this, Kello had to remind me that they play each other twice each. I genuinely thought they only played each other once, and I was like, this is like the most important game. You have to win this game.
You're freaking out.
And Kello's like, please, we played each other twice. And I was like, oh, that's right. Okay, fair enough. Okay, quickly, a match of the weekend for LATAM. I feel like for stamina, probably, but I kind of just feel like there's going to be like a fourth. Maybe Stamina Peru, actually.
Ooh, yeah. I like that matchup.
Stamina Peru feels like a giga banger, in my opinion. They play such totally different styles, right? Like, Stamina is so all in on, like, hyper-powering Reggie into, like, whatever they can do. and Peru is very much like, we're going to split push. Tempo's going to go do one thing. Nemo's going to go do another. We're going to have Xainu's just, like be one of the quietest carries on Earth. Like, they are very split. And Stamina's like, oh, we're going all in on Reggie. Like, we live or die by how this one turns out. So I think that'll be a fun matchup, even, like, stylistically. So that's my vote for Match of the Week. Do you have a different one, or are you agreeing with me on that one?
I co-sign. I'm such a Stamina fan, okay. If I'm being honest. I gave them overdunk stickers I gave them overdunk stickers at NAIC, so I feel connected. They did not speak English.
I love Stamina.
I just said GG. I said GG.
I love that. Thank you for playing Gengar, okay. Reggie. Thank you for always all right.
I stan.
Love them. All right, final region to talk about, and that is going to be North America. Two teams at 3-0 in
crazy.
This league with Dignitas and Evil Geniuses. I'm going to scroll down and check the schedule, because if that matches off broadcast, I'm truly going to lose it.
I'll cry a single tear.
Yeah, they... Oh, thank goodness.
Where do you see if it says it's on broadcast?
I just am looking at the first three matches. Are off broadcast, and then the latter half ones are not. Okay, good.
The first three are on broadcast?
Are off broadcast.
Oh, they're off. Okay, and the last three are on.
And the last three are on. So basically the broadcast in North America will start with Dig versus Ajax, which that'll be fun. Ajax, like, showing out way more than I think people thought they were. Sorry, Flareons, that was a tough one. There were some big
Flareons,
moments.
You gotta hold. You gotta hold that Trevenant Woodhammer free buff. Smuggler X is so iconic.
It was a big weekend for Trevenant moments, by the way. Like, we couldn't stop talking about an EU Trev in day one, and then in day two, it was like, oh my god, Smuglax Trev, it's crazy. It was crazy. A lot of big tree moments.
Yeah, I feel like IX really, like, showed up and showed out. Obviously, formerly version one, who did qualify for Worlds last year, and I think I saw, like, a K-Suff tweet that was, like, proving, like, everyone wrong that like they were in a fluke Worlds team. Sure. Like yeah. they have the sauce. Like and yeah, I feel like they were the surprise of the weekend for NA. IX getting second or third overall in the league. The only team to go 2-1.
Yeah. It is actually so wild that teams 4 through 8 are all 1 and 2 or lower. Like
that is crazy. Like, how did we do? Like, I'm like, what were the matchups? Like, how is the math? But I guess when you have 2 teams at 3-0, it's like,
yeah,
everyone else gets a little fried.
Let's talk a little bit about storylines, right? Like, Dig and EG both seem pretty, like, almost untouchable or something. Like at this point in time, IX is surprising, right? Wait, Flares, what do you mean they're lying? What is up with Citadel? You went 2. Wait, did you beat T Gang? No. Did you?
I don't know.
I think they did. Maybe this is wrong. Yeah, okay. You did beat TK.
Could be.
So you're also 2-1. Okay. Got it.
Okay, Citadel. At least we have Flareon here to tell us. I would not have known that.
Okay, so if you were 2-1, that means you'd be +2 on your map differential, I think. Instead of so being does that minus mean- 1. So you would still be underneath IX Gaming, but by a much closer margin. Yeah, yeah. Oh, you'd be 4-3, so you'd only be +1. Okay, yeah, instead of -1. That makes more sense, actually. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'm doing the math. That math We're figuring is mathing. It out. Okay, these guys are haters. Hey, go talk to the people at Liquipedia, Flare. That's not me.
I think it's one guy.
Yeah. Does that mean Tagang went 0-3 then as well?
Which I think I remember.
Okay.
I remember, like...
I mean, pretty tough
first T-Gang week. And someone else having... We're both, like, looking for their first win.
Right, them and Aftermath, right? Which,
yeah. Yeah, and Do I
they,
think...
Oh, and they don't play each other in next weekend? Oh, man. It is funny that we're going to have the T-Gang, or T-Gang versus Aftermath and the Dig versus EG match all in week 3.
That is so funny, actually.
You got the top matchup, you got the bottom matchup. It'll be interesting. We'll see how that goes. I don't know. Yeah, we'll see. There's something to be said about Aftermath and stuff. I don't get too into it on this.
Not really.
They got a map win against Extinction, you know, after some Mewtwo Unites. It was kind of sick. But I don't know. I think... I hope for an underdog story from them a little bit. I genuinely do. Like I later on in the season or something, it'd be sick to see this like team level up and get some wins. And let's face it, it's a long season. I know a lot of teams are gonna go into matches against Aftermath with the sole focus of we can't be the first ones to lose this one. You know what I mean? Which can make things steady. So we'll see how it goes.
That was my sports team against another sports team this year, and we're like, we can't lose. They've gone 0-6, and then my team lost. So
brutal. Okay, well, you don't want to be that team.
Yeah.
It hurts. I think things playing out relatively how I thought they would go. Like, I'm excited that Citadel kind of has like this natural rival now in IX after that last matchup. That's going to be really fun to watch throughout the rest of the season. Lunex, I think, with a bit of an underperformance. This
for
weekend.
Sure.
They had a tough schedule though. Like, don't get me wrong. Like EG and Dig in day one, like that's brutal. Any team kind of that has evil. To play EG and Dig in day one is tough. However, dropping a map like, to T-Gang is a little concerning. So hopefully they can iron out some.
And I feel like people would have like I wouldn't have rated like Lunex to necessarily like be an auto lose to EG and Dig, you know? Like I felt like
I would have rated them third. Like maybe fourth. Extinction's a tough one. Extinction's a challenging
one. Yeah, it is.
One. Like they're kind of nemesis, but they're kind of new. It is interesting. They're a team to watch to have a bounce back, I think. Like, or maybe...
Absolutely.
Maybe, like, hope to have a bounce back. If anything, like, this is, like, kind of Extinction. Like, hey, you got to prove you're a top team this weekend. Because let's take a look at Extinction's schedule. Mm. You're going up against IX, a team that you were ranked under, but I think you are very, like, confident you could beat. And then you're playing against Lunex and T-Gate. Like... These are three winnable matches for Extinction, and that could be a scary spot to be. Reminder, they also had to play Dig and EG over this first weekend. So, like, Yeah, you got to have some bounce back. Yeah, don't sleep on T-Gang. Yeah, that's true. I don't want to do that either. And you've got some fun teams. I'm not going to lie. Like, this league is fun.
It will be fun. It will be fun.
So
it's hard to grade after two days, technically 1 weekend. We'll get another two this weekend. And it is a new patch. I don't know drastically different. What'd you say?
So top lane should shift, probably, right?
True.
At least get out some other stuff new. I don't know. Bans will probably all stay pretty similar for the most part, but
we'll yeah, yeah. I can't imagine it's, I don't know, too crazy. Stuff.
I don't know if Meowth, I don't think Meowth's available. I honestly have no idea, but why is broadcast keeping you until the very end both days? I couldn't tell you. I don't know why they're keeping me to the very end of the second day either. But hey, Citadel, just you guys got good closing games. What can I say? You guys are
you do. End,
so you versus Dig is going to be such a fun match, actually. Okay, speaking of which, let's jump to that, Bridget.
Citadel has a great schedule.
Match of the week for North America. Ooh. Oh, there's a lot.
I mean, yeah, there. I actually like. I love NA.
I'm
picking out my doom stacks. I think selfishly, I am pretty excited for Dig IX.
Oh, okay. Like,
I feel I like both of them have like pretty big like fan. Like people were going hard in the chat for IX. When they were doing so well on broadcast, obviously people always go hard for Dig. So I think that as like a chatter and someone like watching from the stream, I'm like excited.
Oh, that'll be fun. Okay, so let me be completely honest here. I do think IX is great and I'm happy they outperformed people's expectations. I do consider them to be at the moment a weaker team than Dig. So I think it would be an upset win if IX wins. Now, here's the thing.
Put
IX in this position. Would you rather, after a great weekend, would you rather be running into EG or Dignitas?
Neither.
Absolutely.
I abstain.
But who do we think is the easier team to, in my opinion, get an upset win over? Is it EG or Dig?
Man, that's hard. Because it's like asking which of these players are like more inconsistent. I don't know if inconsistent is the right word, but susceptible to upset.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Dig is less susceptible to upset. They just seem like, I don't know how to say it, like almost more like ruthless this year. Like,
I feel like getting the LAIC win has put them in a, and they have like, I feel like also having like ACL finals to like care. I don't know. Like, I just feel like they have a lot of reasons to be like, we are not effing around.
Yeah.
Not saying Evil Geniuses is by any means,
of course.
But I think Dig has proven not only their capability individually, but like as a unit this year, now, more so than I think any of these, maybe other than like Toon and the Talibobo days, right. But any of their previous success hasn't been nearly as strong as this Dignitas squad. Start has been.
Yeah. I mean, Otter on LG, though, might be the like exception, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, okay. But all that being said, I actually, I do have EG power ranked higher than Dignitas. Only because Dignitas dropping a map to Loon X, I think is the most concerning map drop out of the two 3-0 teams. You know what I mean? Like, EG dropped a map to IX, which, again, I guess, like, this whole point I was making is a little moot, because IX already played EG, but whatever. They dropped the map to IX, and they drop a map to Extinction. Both teams that I think are quite good. However, with Lunex struggling and Dignitas dropping a map to them, that was a little, I don't know, that was a bit head-scratchy to me. So that is why I put them where they are. I think this could change, though. We'll see how Dig does against IX. That's going to be like a good litmus test. So do they do better than EG did against IX or worse than EG did against IX? So we'll see what happens there. Either way, we've had some great matches. You were saying Dig IX is the match to watch. It was funny. I saw Blush obviously saying a little biased, but EG versus T-Gang is actually T-Gang.
I say it different every time. Yeah. I legitimately don't know. Okay. You're the caster. You're the one who should know.
I'm the one on the chopping block. I actually had, it's really funny. I think Dig Citadel might be my like match to watch. I think that one's gonna be fun.
It'd be so fun.
I want to watch Toon and So Sad Sam play just some weirdo junglers against each other. Like, I just want to see nonsense.
God, that's
between
like
these
both
two.
Their thing.
I know. They're both like, yeah, this is meta if I'm playing it. And so I like that.
I get so scared. Nothing is scarier to me than seeing Toon in the last pick draft position. I'm like, I swear to God, please, like, please, like, lock in. But, yeah, Sam is fun, too.
Yeah.
It's gonna be, I'm ready for this weekend. I'm excited.
I know, I love doing these matches. This match of the week thing's gotta stay in terms of this podcast. I'm having a lot of fun with it. The other one, honestly,
T-Gang
versus Extinction, if only because it feels like a placement. Like, it feels like the final piece of Extinction. Ooh. Is Extinction good or not? Like, are you good or not? Can you?
That's the test.
I mean, listen, can you 2-1 at least in a weaker schedule this week? Like, that's the thing. Are you good or not?
So, they need,
That's like my storyline match of the week to watch. Just in terms of gameplay, ooh. I'm excited for a Dig Citadel. But, man, okay. This is going to be a fun.
Play.
This is going to be a fun weekend of games. And they looking really hot, actually. And also, not for nothing.
I know.
Dig Citadel is going to be following EG Aftermath. So it's going to be like, ooh, all right. let's end on, you know. Big one.
Yeah.
So, excited for that.
Shot and Chaser. Yeah. Maybe Chaser then Shot.
Yeah, it depends on which one you like better. Either way. All right, guys. This has been really fun. A little bit of a longer episode. Obviously, we're on a huge
break. We needed
it. Yeah. But we needed to talk about a bunch of different stuff. This show is probably going to primarily be a very much an esports focused show. Again, these days we talk about it, how we are your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. That will probably still keep being our focus, especially with all the leagues going on. Next episode, we'll recap you on the Asia Champions League, matches that have completed, as well as catching us up on all the league stuff that is going on here for the Western ones. And then, of course, we got a couple of new Pokemon to be talking about in terms of Meowth and Sirfetch'd as well. So there's a lot to be talking about on next episode, but thank you so much for joining us on this one. Bridget, do you have anything to shout out before we get out of here?
Obviously watch the regional broadcast this weekend, where Zoinx will be casting NA and EU and LATAM, or field reporting, both and or
one
all.
Of the days I'll be in the tall grass like Kella was, and then the other day I'll be back on the mic.
Yes. And I will also be helping cast some of the EU off-stream games on Sunday. Yeah. Sunday morning. So that'll be fun. That'll be on Unity Clash and Gatlu's channel, I believe. So be on the lookout for all of the grassroots shenanigans. So even if main broadcast doesn't stream it, there's probably someone else streaming it somewhere.
And as someone who's been working on the main broadcast, I just want to say a huge thank you to the community for really stepping up and covering a lot of these matches, because it's awesome. People are so excited about seeing all their favorite teams play and stuff. And so, I don't know. Big thank you for me for being awesome members of the community like you are, Bridget, and like all the people running these streams have been. So it's been awesome. It's been very fun. I love some of these community projects starting up with like Team of the Week and things like that. Some recaps. It has been it's been awesome. Yes, make sure to do it only for me. That it's Correct Steel Agent Kyle. Thank you everybody so much for this week. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we will see you next week when we got even more league stuff to talk about. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Bye.